Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the panel. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have, we got him back, Major Travis Yates, a.k.a. Dr. Travis Yates, and at travisyates.org, if you want more information about him. He also wrote the book, The Courageous Police Leader. You got to love that. So he's educating police leaders around the country and helping them do the right thing. So thanks for what you do, Travis. Also, Lieutenant Bob Kroll from Minneapolis Police Department, formerly with the Federation. And Bob, I'll tell you, so many things happen first and originate from Minneapolis. Is that not the truth? So an integral part of the show. I love it when we have Bob on the show. And Bob, I just remembered that I was holding an article that we were going to talk about for you, and I don't know that I included it in because so either during one of the breaks or something, I'm going to grab that article and see if we can cover that, because I at this point I don't even remember what it was, but I want to find out what it is so that we can cover that. So I think it might have had to do with the with someone they believe a female police officer lied in the Chauvin trial. Am I correct on that?
It is the assistant chief of police. We have declarations, you know, short story is my wife was, she sued my wife, who's a journalist, for defamation. And they've obtained declarations saying there's 14 of them, active and retired police officers, that say the assistant chief lied on the stand in the Chauvin trial and said that the training was not a part of our training, which it was. And then there's a 34 in total. Said she lied that it was a part of training. It was not. 14 came right out and said she committed perjury.
That could be kind of serious. So I can't wait to get into that. So yeah, we will cover that today. And Travis, I saw you open up your mic. Travis just can't stand it when we talk about juicy topics. Look at him. He's already chomping at the bit. He doesn't
The best part of that story is the Minneapolis Police Department obviously has liars in the department. It's either these 30 some odd police officers or it's one deputy chief. And the chief of police, who I like to refer to as Mr. DLJ, he said the deputy chief is a courageous leader. So I may sue him for defamation.
Oh, that's your book. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. I can't wait to talk about this now. All right. So that's coming up. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com and also FishOrlandoBash.com. Now, Brett, where do you like to take the wife, the kids, or the grandkids? Where is that place in Orlando?
I like to drop them off at the front gate of Disney World.
There you go. They're right.
That's where I like to take them. And then go fishing and go look at gators with our
buddy Zach. Yeah. You know, Zach has got at fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter. So you have options now, guys, when you're going to Disney. Don't just stroke it off as a bad trip or one that everybody's going to enjoy except for you. Just the wife and kids are going to have a great time. Drop them off. Go hook up with Zach. Do the bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous and you don't mind losing a digit or two, do the alligator hunting where you catch and relocate alligators. That's a neat time with Zach as well. So, yeah, Brett can show you the scars, but I don't want him to stand up because I don't know what he's wearing right now, but yeah. We've also got a shout out to Prime Birds with Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. So, guys, let's whet the appetite. The story that we just hinted on, we just chomped on a bit of that. We're going to be covering that. I've also got Maryland State Police reach a $2 million settlement over alleged employment discrimination. This, I was the lead fitness trainer for my agency. This just drives me crazy. We have a truck rampage at El Cajon Police Headquarters. It ends in a fatal shooting. That was a tragedy watching that go down. And we're going to be talking about the reactions of the lieutenant that was there with the sergeant. Body cam released a police fatally shooting New Orleans terrorist. There is video. It's quick. You have to really pay attention to see what's going on. It's still a little, there's a lot to process. We got Edmond police tase a suspect who exposes himself to a juvenile inside of a TJ Maxx. But yeah, there is a taser and a face plant on asphalt. So this is going to be worth watching. Dallas police shoot an armed man pointing a gun at cars near an elementary school. So when the cops show up, guess what? They turn the corner. He's standing there pointing the gun at them. Then we had California officers shoot a man carrying a replica shotgun. And we had body cam footage of that. And, you know, I think we'll be lucky to get through all that stuff. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and start talking about the first update article, and I'll try to get that other one ready for us to go as well. But on this update article, CBSnews.com, Maryland State Police, they reach a $2 million settlement, $2 million over an alleged employment discrimination. So if this makes any sense, now we're in Baltimore, but I tell you, I just can't wrap my head around this. The Maryland Department of State Police, we're talking about the guys that have Maryland troopers, right? They train, they're the state police, they're the troopers, right? They reach a settlement after the U.S., and it only says the U.S., it doesn't say the DOJ, who I suspect has got the hand in this, but they say that the U.S. sued the department, alleging it violated a federal law against employment discrimination. Now, in October of 2024, which is when the lawsuit was filed, the U.S. alleged that the Maryland Department of State Police, they violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 because they used certain physical fitness tests and written tests to hire entry-level troopers. But according to the lawsuit, the tests that they used in the hiring process, they were not, quote, job-related, and they disqualified more women and African-American applicants than other groups. Now, that alone kind of baffles me. We'll get more into this in a minute. But in a statement on Thursday, the agency denied that it violated the law. And under the settlement, which they apparently agreed to, the department has agreed to only use lawful tests. But we're not done. The department also agreed to provide financial awards and priority hiring to impacted women or African-American applicants who could have become troopers, or so they think, if the tests challenged in the lawsuit had not been used. And he goes on to say the financial rewards are meant to make up for some of the pay an eligible applicant could have earned if they had not failed one of the hiring tests and had been hired as a trooper. So the agency's agreed to pay $2 million in back pay, which is going to be divided among all the eligible applicants. They're still receiving applications to see who's going to get it. And they're going to divide up $2 million. It's currently unclear how many they're going to have. Applicants who are only eligible if they meet the following criteria. It's got to be female or African-American. This is just crazy, right? And if they applied for a trooper job as the Maryland State Police or were disqualified by the physical test between 2017 and the present, such a long period of time. And also, when they were disqualified by the physical fitness test, they met the minimum qualifications that were in place. Now, priority hiring awards will also be provided, giving eligible applicants a chance to be hired as a trooper if they meet the current minimum qualifications. And the agencies agreed to hire up to 25 eligible DEI. Oh, I didn't mean to say DEI, but 25 eligible applicants. They're calling them priority hires. Those selected will receive retroactive seniority. The troops are going to be happy about that, I'm sure. They're also going to get a hiring bonus according to the settlement. So, guys, I can't believe this, but Travis, start us off on this one. This is crazy.
So I'm supposed to believe that they had a entry level physical fitness requirement that only excluded African-Americans and females, didn't exclude white females, didn't exclude whites, didn't exclude Asians. That's what I'm led to believe here. So I'm trying to imagine what that test would entail, but obviously it's more of the same from Department of Justice because they look at outcomes. It's all about outcomes. So if what you do does not give you equal outcomes among all races, ethnicities, somehow it's an issue. And they've attacked other agencies for the very same thing. But shame on Maryland and shame on these other agencies for not standing up to this. You either did something wrong or you didn't. So if you didn't do anything wrong, why are you letting people push you around? I have probably too much knowledge about what the DOJ is doing to local law enforcement than I probably ought to. But it is one of the most egregious things I've ever seen. And it's pretty insane that nobody's speaking about it. But this is why. We just cater to this, right? Now, maybe Maryland did something wrong, but in my experience, the DOJ is touching it. They are literally manipulating what the wrongs were. I just got through reviewing a pretty exhaustive report they did on Phoenix, and that's a whole other topic we'll get to later in another day. But out of the 134 incidents, Chip, the DOJ says was unconstitutional, I found four. Four. And I was trying to, probably two of those I'm stretching because I think this looks insane. And so there should be no faith whatsoever in what the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division is doing to departments. There just shouldn't be. There's a track record of manipulation, deception, omissions, and straight up lies. I wish there wasn't. It's a powerful organization. They could be doing good out there, but that's not what's been going on in recent years. And this is more than likely more of the same, because that just the language of that settlement is weird. So they invented a test that only discriminated against if you're female or black.
Yeah.
No Asian females, no Puerto Ricans. Well, none of this makes any sense.
Right.
Shame on them for just bending over.
I'm dying to know what those components consisted of. That's not in the story.
Me too.
But I'd like to know. But you know, the DOJ is off the rails, and let's hope in another week that gets reeled in. But you know, Chip, you were the lead trainer for your agency, and I think we can all agree, if you're competing for a job in law enforcement, you should be in the prime physical condition of your life. And you don't want to lower any standards based on any kind of criteria. And it's just, it's a completely wrong direction. We fought this for years in my agency. And I think going back decades, they had physical testing agencies that would do this, that have had tests that up, you know, had stood up to challenges, legal challenges. And I think they had to go through a better validation process if that's the case.
Yeah, I've definitely got some stuff that I want to say about this, but it's time for our first commercial break. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do, in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they have a radio code. I have that radio code, and I'm going to give it to you. It's Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And hey, I've gotten a pair of their new Mission Made, tactical pants that are unbelievably comfortable, and they're nice. They're thick. They're well built. And I just got a $200 pair of Danner boots that are waterproof. Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that we're all in love with, and it's called the Glove. But don't get stuck on the Glove, guys, because they've also got personal protection. So in the days, rural protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, we're not done. They're MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers. They actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, giving you peace of mind and helping you stay protected both on and off duty. And when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. So learn more about how to equip your team today by going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, I'm just watching this posting. We've got on Facebook, we've got Ami that's conversing with us. I'm curious what agency or what part of the country you're in, because Ami said that both parents were police officers, but that couldn't get hired because they were only hiring non-whites, which kind of sucks, you know. From the physical fitness side of it, I do know we used to do the Cooper's test, you know, mile and a half runs, sit-ups, push-ups, and it was scaled depending on what sex you were or how old you were. And because they were so worried about conforming with Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 and all these other things. And so then we went, the momentum changed and we got a little bit more educated on fitness testing. So we went to task intensive test. And I agree, they should probably have something to do with the job. We had guys doing sit-ups and push-ups, and it was just to gauge the fitness level. I agree, Bob, that you want to hire guys that are already in shape. If you get in a guy, and look, there's a lot of applicants that are getting in shape. Their version of getting in shape for the job is while they're doing laps in the academy during fitness training, right? I mean, you're lucky today if you're getting in when they're already in shape, which is really what you want, because they're not going to change their lifestyle just for the job, right? You want them to already have that lifestyle. But the task intensive test, they had to have something to do with the job. So getting the gun out of the glove box, you actually had to turn the knob, the twist to do that. And there were other things, taking flags off behind your back and alternating your hands and doing a two-handed grip when you fire a gun, but you have to shoot from the trigger finger of the gun, of the hand you're holding the gun with, little things like that. They don't sound like a lot, but when you get a person that's got one arm, they're not going to be able to pass that test. It's not designed to eliminate those people. You got a guy with one leg trying to go over that, you know, 4-foot wall or drag that 150-pound dummy for 100 feet, you know, little things like that. Become doing the serpentine run between the cones, you know. So those tests are designed to make sure people can do the job, but they have something to do with the tasks that you're required to do as a police officer. So yeah, I'm very curious about what kind of tests these guys had that discriminated against. Well, the whole thing that they discriminate against blacks is BS, because there's no test that I can no physical test that I can think of that is going to adversely affect you because you're black. Now, female, if it's something involving, you know, weight, could be their legs are stronger than a lot of guys, but I still have my doubts about that. And of course the agency denied it too. So, and then if the DOJ is involved, I even have more serious concerns. So yeah, you know, I'm not to jump on Travis's bandwagon, but yeah, I'm jumping on it. I'm jumping on that train, Travis.
Well, I mean, part of the problem, if you hire people that don't pass the standards, is like Bob said, it creates problems down the line. I remember very vividly in the academy, we had hired an Asian female, and she was a really nice lady, very, very small in stature. And she's next to me at the range, and I kept hearing we're shooting and her gun's not going off. And so she kept saying, well, the gun's malfunctioning. So the range master would come over there and look at the gun and fire it, give it back to her. We'd go again and the gun wasn't going off. And he'd come back over there and look at the gun all confused like, and he'd fire it and give it back to her. Come to find out, she couldn't pull the trigger. She didn't have the strength to pull the trigger. And I'm thinking to myself, you didn't test for that before you hired? I mean, I did a trigger pull test when I got hired. What is going on here, right? And so they had to end up terminating her, which is not fair to her, because they put her in an environment that she could not succeed in. And she went on to have a great career in something else. And like I said, I always was fond of her. But they really do an injustice to her. Same thing when they hire people that's on a lower scale of other people, regardless of race. And then we wonder why they can't get promoted when they're competing against the people that were already better than to begin with. So it's just not, you know, people forget that they're not doing people the right way when they let them do a job that they're really not capable of doing. There's just jobs that certain people can't do. You know, there's not many males that teach kindergarten. I'm not going to file a lawsuit about that. I'm just assuming that's not in their wheelhouse, so to speak.
So you're right. There was a dry fire portion of our fitness test, and it required two-handed shooting, and you had to shoot from both hands. And primarily the only people that really had problems were that the ones that did happen to be females. Now, trigger pull strength is something you can work on. We used a revolver because we wanted an 8-pound trigger, and consistently, and that's why we used a revolver for that particular test. I had females using more than one finger, and I would disqualify them. I had them holding the gun with their right hand and simply pulling the trigger with the left hand, the opposite, and that won't slide. I mean, look, I got so much grief for holding females back for failing them because of that stuff. But I'm aware of all the tricks now after doing this for years. There are so many tricks. You know, whenever I see someone, I still see on videos, I will instantly pick up, if you're holding the gun with one hand and pulling the trigger with a two-handed grip and pulling the trigger with the other hand, I'll pick up on it right away, because there's still people that do that. It's just, it's horrible, but yeah. So, this rubs me the wrong way. The Army on Facebook, that was Chicago Police Department that Army was talking about that went down at too. So, if you guys, we got about a little less than 3 minutes, and Ami and other Facebook listeners and everybody, if you haven't entered that contest yet by typing the letter Q for the quick light, type that in and make sure I get your email address so that we can get that thing mailed to you. We'll want to eventually get your mailing address. If you end up winning, we're going to do that drawing within 24 hours. So this other article at lawofficer.com, over a dozen current and former officers say that they believe MPD's Katie Blackwell perjured herself during the Derek Chauvin trial. And here's a little subtitle saying every MPD officer knows that restraint was trained, and every MPD officer knows it was trained as part of the MRT process. Current and former MPD officer said in sworn declaration. So it goes on to say, and this story is from Alpha News, 14 current and former police officers with the Minneapolis Police Department have signed sworn declarations which say that they believe MPD Assistant Chief Katie Blackwell perjured herself when testifying in former MPD officer Derek Chauvin's murder trial. And then it goes specifically, the group of former officers say they believe Blackwell perjured herself when she testified in court that the restraint method Chauvin used to subdue George Floyd in May 2020 was not a part of the MPD's agency's officer training. And in that trial, Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, and he was sentenced to 22 years in prison and then stabbed multiple times and nearly died as well. And it's sad to think that all that could have happened because of her. And of course, if you read the book, Liz Collins' book, you know, they're lying, or watch the documentary, there's a copy of the book right there. Liz Collins is Bob Kroll's wife. You guys, you're prepared to get angry when you find out everything they lied and they kept away from you, but they're lying. And then the fall of Minneapolis. So, but talking about this, we got less than a minute before we go to our next commercial break, but we'll keep the conversation going after the break. But, any more words on this article that was on lawofficer.com?
Travis, if you want to take it, it's your, Travis is the man at law officer, but yes, Liz is my wife. And for a change, she's the one that got sued, not me this time. But after all my years on the job doing what I did, but it's frivolous in so many ways. We'll come back.
Yeah, you know, you hate it when these commercials come up, but yep. Time for another commercial break, guys. Stick with us. Support our sponsors. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Brett's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And if you haven't entered in that quick like contest yet, type in the letter Q and give us your email address to make sure that we can get it to you in case you win the contest. We'll be doing that drawing within 24 hours. Ami, I see your post, and thank you. I think you're a new listener or viewer, and this last one's I think addressed to Bob Kroll from Minneapolis. But thanks for typing that in, Bob. This last story that we're talking about from Minneapolis, and I do like your shirt, by the way. Can you tell our audience about how they can get a little bit more educated about what happened in Minneapolis and Chauvin and George Floyd?
The easiest way is type in alphanews.org, and that will link you to the book, They're Lying, the Media of the Left, Death of George Floyd, or The Fall of Minneapolis, or the latest mini documentary, Minnesota versus We the People. But that will bring you in and loop you in, or just follow Travis on lawofficer.com also, because they do a great job. But to nutshell this, the Katie Blackwell was a director of training where they showed the restraint that Chauvin and the other officers were using, and she lied on the stand in several officers' opinion and in their declarations. Anyway, Katie sued. She sued Alpha News. She sued my wife, Liz Collin, for defamation. And now the defamation standard is very high when you're a public official to begin with, and you're a journalist. It's a very high bar. But they only used her testimony from the criminal trial in the book and the movie, and they let you form your own opinion. They never accused her of doing anything. So she filed a lawsuit, and at the end of the day, her filing the lawsuit shined more light on her and her non-credible testimony than the book or the movie did collectively. So these officers came forward, said she outright committed perjury, and this is their effort to get the lawsuit dismissed. And if you check on Alpha, it's kind of funny because my wife was looking for the chief, actually, and Katie Blackwell came into the chief's office, and she caught her on camera just the other day and had some questions for her that she didn't want to answer. But it's a very good clip to check that out also. But she said it caused harm for future. Her suit claims that it prevented her from future advancement. She went from the commander of training to the inspector of the 5th precinct, but you know, precinct commander, skipped over the deputy chief rank to the assistant chief since all this happened. So she got promoted as high as can be. She's next in command of the chief of police. So it did the opposite of harm. It helped her. So it's a crazy lawsuit in a number of ways.
Yeah. I wonder if she can pass that physical fitness test, Travis.
Well, let me just take the audience back to what happened here. That maneuver was trained to every Minneapolis police officer. It's a mandatory in-service class, as Bob could tell you, and every officer got it. And she was over the academy, and you know, up to prep for that trial. And I don't know what the time period, but she was over the academy. And those records of him receiving that training has somehow never made it into the trial, right? Although every officer in Minneapolis knew it was being trained. And so it's not a shocking statement to say he was trained. We have photographs of this being used, PowerPoints of the training of it being used. You can see this in the documentary. You can see this in the book. You can see some of it at trial. And so the fact that and then she, of course, gets promoted two or three different times between the trial and now. So this whole defamation thing all I could say is she didn't know who she was messing with, because Liz Collin and Dr. Shea are going to tell you the truth unabashedly. They're not going to manipulate information. They're not going to lie about people. They're going to tell you the way it is. This is what America wants. And so by her doing that is now put a spotlight on this. Probably one of the best things that could have happened for the documentary and the book. It's not fun to be involved in court proceedings, but I don't know who gave her that advice. I don't know who she thought she was, but that's not going to go well. And we're in the middle of that now because the chief's got a problem. Either she lied or 30 some odd police officers are lying. So what is it, chief? Right. You're going to have to make a decision here. You either believe in what you say or you don't. And, you ought to just present all the evidence, and first place to see that evidence is the fall of Minneapolis for sure.
Well, hopefully they won't let this die. So,
well, it possibly gives some hope to Derek Chauvin too, if she did in fact lie, and it's proven that this may have some, you know, discredit a lot of the testimony in his case.
Wow.
And maybe it'll work towards an appeal. But the funniest part is they have in an MPD yearbook, they have a picture of Katie using the MRT maximal restraint technique on a protester.
Are you serious? Her knee
is on the back of a guy at a hockey riot that they had after the hockey team lost.
So think about this, Chip.
We got a roll. So
I know we got a roll, but she filed a defamation lawsuit knowing that she used the technique herself. To me, that's just insanity.
Yeah. Shocker. Well, guys, let's cover our first video. And this is wild. Formerlawman.com. And hey, if you're used to going to Red Voice Media, now it's rvmnews.com or Former Lawman. And Former Lawman's where the law enforcement stuff is at. And I'll tell you, they got videos and everything going on. So these videos are mostly formerlawman.com. And this is Butter, which is at rumble.com. So a truck rampage at El Cajon Police Headquarters. It ends in a fatal shooting. This is kind of crazy. So this is in California. They released security and body cam footage. It's a dramatic officer-involved shooting that took place outside police headquarters on December the 11th of 2024, so just a month ago. So the incident resulted in the death of a 24-year-old Benjamin Grube. He is a, quote, non-binary individual who police say intentionally targeted officers with his vehicle. They said with their vehicle because he's non-binary, so they don't want to commit to a him or a her.
See, I got you. I got you.
Don't move! Stop moving!
Shots fired. Front of the station.
Hey, come back
here
on this side.
Shots fired.
The event unfolds as the El Cajon police, they're preparing to host a retirement party at headquarters, and security footage, and it's a surveillance camera, there's no sound on it, but you see our bad guy pulling into the parking lot, and he's got a black Toyota pickup truck. And then you see he pauses momentarily, They say he moves back and forth between the driver and the passenger seats, which you really can't see. But then you have two officers, a lieutenant and a sergeant, whose name is Kevin Maxwell. They exit the building and they start talking near the end of the parking lot. And so while they're doing that, this guy backs out of the parking place, and Grube, our bad guy, he lines his car up where he's facing them. And you kind of see they turn their attention away from each other. They're kind of looking at this dude in the parking lot because he's kind of like the car's facing them. Then he inches up towards him and he stops. And, you know, there's no sound, but I can almost imagine like him revving the engine or something because they're paying so much attention to him. So he steps on the gas, and this lieutenant and the sergeant start, you know, booking it. And they kind of split, and he takes out the sergeant, and the lieutenant gets away unscathed. And then when he has a sergeant on the front bumper and he's like hitting the sergeant, he crashes into a tree. How the sergeant didn't get pinned between the bumper and the tree, I don't know. That was a miracle. Sergeant goes flying through the air, trunk crashes, and despite the injuries, sergeant manages to draw his firearm, and he commands the bad guy to exit the car. No shots fired yet. Body cam footage then shows Officer Evan Drescher. He comes out of headquarters because all this commotion going on, and he arrives there, and now all of a sudden the bad guy reverses the truck. Then he steps on the gas again, and he starts trying to hit the same Sergeant Maxwell again, and then they just kind of unload on him, and ultimately the car stops. So when officers remove the bad guy, they discover he's soaked in gasoline. He has three cans of gasoline inside the car. They still render aid to this bad guy, transport him to the hospital, but he later dies. Sergeant Maxwell is also hospitalized. He had a concussion, non-life-threatening injuries, and he's since been released. And the follow-up investigation revealed that our bad guy was suicidal, and he held anti-law enforcement sentiments. Gee, you think? So I haven't seen anything quite like this before. Travis?
Listen, he would have been better off by going after the lieutenant, because the lieutenant was going to be slower on his feet than the sergeant. This is why yeah. We had entry level standards we talked about earlier. But anyway, he didn't. He made the wrong choice. And you know, I'm a little tired of hearing about how law enforcement just, you know, kills people and has all this disdain for people, this and that. I mean, literally, this dude runs over a sergeant, you know, tries to run him over again, and we're still just saying, "Get out of the car, sir. Just get out of the car." We're not firing rounds. We wait until all of our lives are in danger before we use deadly force. We see that in multiple videos. Great job by these guys. I'm glad everybody was okay.
Well, I still would like to talk about what in the world the lieutenant was doing after all this went down. He's just like walking around like
he's doing LT stuff, man. Come on. He's doing LT stuff, Chip. Lay off of him.
Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, and also attorney Ken Apiaco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We're talking about this incident where this guy's waiting in his car in the parking lot outside police headquarters in California. And he goes to take out a lieutenant and a sergeant, but as Travis Kent hinted, you know, I think the lieutenant may be a little quicker, and the sergeant got the brunt of it. But wow, they took this guy out at the end. Bob Kroll.
First of all, I've been to dozens of retirement parties, and I've never done a perimeter surveillance to see if things are going to. That caught me initially, because they talk about they're surveilling the premises, and like everybody's reaction at first, maybe I can see the lieutenant going, "Did this guy's car truck malfunction? Did he mean to hit the gas instead of the brake? Could this have been an accident?" But that's second or two. And then you got to shift gears and go, this guy's trying to kill us, and take some action. And that never seemed to register or happen with the lieutenant. The officer came out of the station and also took action along with the officer that was hit. But you got to wonder what was going through the lieutenant's mind at that time and why.
You know, they gave the name of the sergeant that got hit, the officer that came out of headquarters and shot. They wouldn't give the name of the lieutenant. Something's going down. I'll bet they're investigating that sucker for lack of action, maybe, or something. I don't know, but we'll see. So he's not a courageous police leader. I'll just put it that way and leave it there. So, all right. Hey, you need to send him a free copy of your book autographed, Travis. And if he reads it, there may be hope. That's all I'm saying. If you guys are ready to go, I finally got Travis to open the microphone with that one.
Well, he may have just been scared what the DOJ was going to say, because after reading what they say, here's what they would have said. You shouldn't have been doing a perimeter check. If you wouldn't have been doing a perimeter check, this poor guy wouldn't have hit the gas. And I'm not making that up. That's exactly what they do in these incidents. So it's pretty insane.
Wow.
Hate to keep always bringing him up. I always bring this back. I'm like a bad comic. I'm always bringing it back to the DOJ, but it's just so ridiculous.
Wow. I wonder if they're going to have a booth at SHOT Show. If they do, maybe I'll have to.
I think they're in transition. I'm not sure they'll be there.
In transition? Is that like a non-binary thing, or what is that? What does that mean?
No, I think some of them's not going to have a job come next Monday.
Okay. I got you. That's right. It is. We'll be there on a Monday. That's a good point. If I am there, what I'll do, I'll have Brett film. We're bringing a bunch of camera equipment because we got the media credentials, you know, when we're gone. Brett will film them, and I'll show them a picture of like you and tell them that you and I are like, you know, Chip, tight. You know, I want to get their facial expression.
Yeah, that's just it. And Bob will tell you, they have no shame. They can care less what I say, because they've been able to say this stuff for 30 years and get away with it. They don't care what I say. They just laugh it off because it's just so egregious.
Oh, I love you, man. All right. Look, if you haven't entered the contest yet, if you're watching the show, if you haven't won a Quick Light product in the last 60 days, type in the letter Q, give us your email address on the stream, and you don't even have to watch show live. We'll do that drawing within 24 hours. So even after the live show, you can still enter that contest. Now, our next story with a video component, formerlawman.com, and This Is Butter, which is at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, body cam released of a police fatally shooting a New Orleans terrorist. This is quick, but it's newsworthy, so I wanted to include it. So this body cam footage released by New Orleans Police Department on Friday reveals the moments leading up to the officer's fatal shooting or Islamic State-inspired attacker. I'm not going to give his name out, but he killed 14 people with that truck rampage that happened on New Year's Day. So the suspect opened fire on officers from inside the truck after he crashes into the crowd and on Bourbon Street. And this kind of shows you what goes down. The trucks crash. The officers are going on there, say, you know, they're just trying to figure out what happened. I think that some of the officers responding may not have even known the guy intentionally had done this. They just heard the commotion and they're approaching the car. So the footage shows him shooting from behind an airbag as several officers surround his vehicle. And the agency confirmed that three officers discharged their weapons after he fired at them. The video also shows one of the two officers standing near the driver's door with his gun raised. A muzzle flash is seen from inside the truck and followed by a rapid succession of shots. And as the domestic terrorist fires at officers from close range, by the way, some can be seen there. I mean, they're diving for cover, hitting the asphalt. I mean, literally diving. Police confirmed that two officers standing by the driver's door discharged their weapons. A third positioned himself in front of the vehicle. He also fired, but that he's off camera. But I think that we ended up having two cops not killed, but injured, you know, in the string of fire that were shot. So commentary on that, gentlemen, if anything. I mean, it's a quick video. I don't know if it's worthy of the comment or not, but it's pretty self-explanatory. I think we got enough time for one more story that's got a video component if you guys are up for it. Our next one here, we've got Edmond Police, and this is at formerlawman.com again, and This Is Butter. Edmond Police tase a suspect, I'm so glad we're covering this one, who exposed himself to a juvenile inside a TJ Maxx, but this happens inside a Chick-fil-A.
Person right here, talk up. Person, talk outside for a second so we can get away from people. Cool. Hey, you have an ID with you?
Stop eating a day!
Okay. So Edmond police said that after the department released an image of this suspect who had exposed himself allegedly, within 2 hours, they start getting reports of people seeing this guy, right? On October the 21st, they would get a report about an incident at this department store, TJ Maxx. And after they release the suspect's image on social media, they get calls, leads them to arrest the suspect. So 911 gets this call and they say, hey, caller says, hey, I'm at the Chick-fil-A, 33rd and Broadway. This is about a gentleman who's been exposing himself to minors. He's been identified by a couple of our guests here at the Chick-fil-A. So dispatch says, is he there now? And the guy goes, yeah, he's still here. He's eating currently. It looks like he's wearing what he was wearing in the picture that they put online. Unfortunate for him. And they put it on, they was posted on Instagram. So officers get at the Chick-fil-A. The guy was actually in the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom. They walk him outside the restaurant. They're going to talk to him. And as soon as they get out that door, a guy breaks away and now is a foot chase through a parking lot. So the one officer who's on body cam right behind him is saying, man, dude, I'm going to tase you. And so sure enough, he gets close enough and he tases the guy, does a face plant right in the asphalt. And, you know, he's got blood and stuff on his face and stuff. And they go 10-15, but the guy handcuffed him. So Jeffrey Osborne is the guy they arrested, booked in the Oklahoma County Detention Center. But they charge him with one count of obstruction. And he bonds out. So they don't charge him with exposing himself because they're still trying to put, it looks to me like they're trying to put the pieces together in the PC to charge him with that. So later on, it looks like investigators, they positively identify him as the suspect from TJ Maxx. And they get a warrant for his arrest. And it says that the Edmond Police and the U.S. Marshal's Office, they find him and arrest him for that outstanding felony warrant for lewd acts to a child under 16. And that's the way that thing goes down. We got 2 minutes and no seconds. So Travis Shade, start us off.
Well, this is a testament to just how good Chick-fil-A is and those pickles on that sandwich. Because this guy just exposed himself in TJ Maxx for all to see. And he, you know, he's thinking outside in the parking lot, I can't go in Chick-fil-A because this is the definition of righteous injustice. Justice will prevail if I walk into Chick-fil-A. These people are just short of God that goes in here and eats, but I've got to go. I got to get that sandwich. So he goes in and, of course, gets caught. If the guy would have eaten a Burger King, he'd still be outstanding. Nobody would care at Burger King, but you cannot go into Chick-fil-A and have committed any crimes in the past. You will be outed.
Wow.
Hey, at first I wanted to be critical of the officer for not taking physical control over this guy as you're walking out. He says, hey, come on out, walk out with me. You know, if you got a guy you're going to be arresting, he can bolt on you, take control of him inside. But I can't, because when anybody that's had to chase someone in shorts and tennis shoes when you're wearing your full gear, this copper didn't have to hang on to him because he closed the distance on him pretty fast enough.
He was not a lieutenant, that's for sure.
Take him down, that's for sure. He, you know, keeping up was one thing in your gear, but to close the distance enough to deploy the taser, and it was a nice face plant. So, yeah, he redeemed himself for sure. But why in the world don't they have 36 hours to develop the PC to hold him? Because you're placing everybody in danger when you got to go out to his house again and grab him for something that he should already.
Somebody made a mistake. Somebody at the jail didn't put a hold on him.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And it shouldn't take that long. I mean, they should have had this thing already wrapped up. I mean, how long does it take to have that, you know, whether they're doing a photo pack or whatever. I mean, you know, but hey, we're 16 seconds out. So a fantastic show, gentlemen. I appreciate everything you guys jammed today. So, and I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And Travis Yates is actually on the board of directors as well. They are helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that Guitars for Cops special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you can get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars4cops.com. And it's a great organization I donate monthly to, and I know that they're not going to embarrass me. So Travis Yates, you get more information about Travis Yates and the Courageous Police Leader at travisyates.org. And he's also all over LinkedIn. If you want to get a hold of Bob Kroll, you got to go through me. So, but he's also got all the websites and stuff too that I'm going to go ahead and hit that ticker for again. But the likesbose.com and that book that Liz Collin wrote, Their Line, you guys simply have to get educated and check that out. Guys, support our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard, Two Bells, FisherLandoBass.com. And we'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.